go to the book of 2 Timothy tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at the last two verses here in this chapter, and then we're going to have a message out of this passage, and we'll go over into chapter 4. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 will be the text that we'll read. Very, very familiar verses to us. You've been in church for a while. If not, you will learn that these are familiar verses and important verses, great verses, as they all are, of course. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. And we're going to read these responsively. Would you please join me on verse 17? So the last two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Good. Let's pray together before our special. Father, thank you so much for the service thus far, the good music, the fellowship with each other, the laughter together. And now, Lord, we come to the preaching of your word. Would you please open our eyes that we could behold wondrous things out of your law? And then, Lord, help us to come with the proper spirit and respect and desire and hunger for truth. And may you help us tonight. We'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
If not for grace, my soul would be a drifting ship, with no safe harbor from the angry waves. But Calvary's cross shines brightly through the darkest storm, and just in time His mercy rescues me. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Good thing for us to do, wouldn't it? With folks that need Christ, with each other, and to thank the Lord, that's a truth, good truth for our hearts tonight. Thank you, folks. Good song. Paul wrote that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I want to speak tonight on the subject, our relationship to doctrine. Our relationship to doctrine. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on the message. Father, thank you for looking beyond our fault and seeing our need, and then, Lord, more than just seeing it, doing something about it. Thank you for sending your Son to come to this earth to bear our sin debt in His own body upon the tree so that we might be saved. What a great life we now are privileged to live because you loved us so, because you looked beyond our fault and saw our need. God, bless us to do the same with others, with each other, and live like you want us to live. Help me tonight, please, be a blessing in these moments. Speak to our hearts in this important matter, and I'll give you the thanks for it. God, I need your help. I don't apologize for saying that. I need it. I've got to have it, your anointing, your touch, your blessing. So may the Holy Ghost have liberty in the service is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. We have a Bible that consists of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And I believe that all 66 books are profitable in some way for a Christian in 2011. They'll also be profitable if Jesus leaves us here in 2012. And the same can be said for every year until Jesus comes to get us. It'll always be a profitable book. There are, however, some books that are particularly important for certain groups of people or for certain purposes. For instance, the book of Genesis is important for us when it comes to mankind's beginnings, to know where we or from where we came. The book of Proverbs is so important for young people. The Bible refers to them as simple ones. Simple in the fact that they have not narrowed down what they believe yet. They are still easily influenced and easily impressionable. And so the book of Proverbs is good for young people. The book of Acts is extremely important to understand the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament dispensation, from the Old Testament covenant to the New Testament covenant, from Jew to Gentile, and so forth. The book of Acts is so incredibly important. Then we have the book of Revelation, vital for an understanding of what will happen in the end of time as we know it, as we draw closer to those events that we hear about often. So Revelation is important. I think of Romans through, 2 Thessalonians. Now that covers 9 books. Romans through 2 Thessalonians. Those books are written to churches. And how important that group of books is for a New Testament church in this day and age. And then we have the book that we read out of tonight. We have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those are very important books for pastors. Now, there's no need for me to be lengthy about these books tonight. We just looked at these books in our survey on Wednesday. But let me remind you that these three books are written to men who served as pastors. Timothy pastored a church in Ephesus, and Titus pastored churches on the island of Crete. So these books, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, these books are heavy in instruction to pastors about their personal life, about church service and behavior. And so that makes, because there's so much church behavior in these books, that makes these books very important for New Testament churches as well. Now, when I'm reading through 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, it is interesting to me that a certain word is used more often than other words that you and I would consider important words in the Christian life. For instance, in these three books, the word prayer is mentioned one time. That's all. In these three books, the word pray and the word heart. We talked about heart this morning. The word pray and heart, those words are mentioned only twice. In these three books, the word righteousness is mentioned 5 times. The word mercy is mentioned 8. The word love is mentioned 9. The word grace is mentioned 11 times. And truth, 13 times. But the word doctrine is mentioned 16 times in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. 16 times. Now, the only word that I could find that was used more often than the word doctrine is the word faith. The word faith is used 32 times in these three books. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that percentage-wise, when you look over the content of the whole Bible, the word doctrine is only used 51 times in the whole Bible. 16 of those 51 times are in these three books in the New Testament. So that's 31% of the time that that word is used in the Bible. It is used in those three books, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Now, if you take the word faith over the whole Bible, if you were here last Wednesday night, faith is mentioned 32 times in the book of Hebrews by itself. Percentage-wise, that goes way down for the word faith. So it's very interesting and it's very noticeable that God is emphasizing two important matters to these pastors, Timothy and Titus. He's emphasizing faith, but He did that throughout the whole Bible. He's also emphasizing doctrine. He's emphasizing doctrine, 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 doctrine. There are 6 chapters in 1 Timothy, 4 in 2 Timothy, and 3 in Titus. That's 13 chapters, so he mentions the word doctrine is mentioned more than one time per chapter over those 13 chapters. 16 times. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Let me read to you from Webster's dictionary. He said this, his definition was this: in a general sense, whatever is taught. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and His apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. So in other words, hence a doctrine may be true or false. The word doctrine in and of itself doesn't mean necessarily that it's true. It's the source of the doctrine that makes it true or false. There's J.W. doctrine. And there's Mormon doctrine. And there's Muslim doctrine. And so forth and so on. But just because you have the word doctrine there doesn't mean that it's true. Okay? It's the source of doctrine that makes it true or false. Now, because that is true, you and I in this New Testament church age, we must make sure that our doctrine comes from a source that is true. We have that source. We have it in our hands. You see, this is important because our doctrine becomes that which we believe. And our beliefs determine our behavior. So doctrine becomes very incredibly important to a child of God. And we can know true doctrine, true teachings, true principles, if we make sure that the teaching and the principles we hear come from the Scriptures. And so I want to talk tonight about the message here. It won't be long because we have to talk about the program a little bit. But just a little bit about our relationship to doctrine. Our relationship to doctrine. God thought it important enough that He put it 16 times in 3 books of these pastors in this New Testament. First of all, let me say this tonight. To love the Scripture is to love doctrine. To love the Scripture is to love doctrine. Now, I want you to notice what God said there in verse number 16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Now, it's also profitable for reproof. It's also profitable for correction. It's also profitable for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable for all of those things. But if we believe that the very order of the words is ordained by God, then we have to understand that the very first thing, the primary matter that the Scriptures are profitable for is doctrine. Because that's the word that's mentioned first. Is doctrine the primary matter? I have a vehicle out in the parking lot tonight, as do many of you. I like my vehicle. I am profited in many ways by the vehicle I drive. It tells me the direction I am going. It tells me the outside temperature. If I'm curious and want to know what the outside temperature is while I'm going down the road, that car tells me the outside temperature. It tells me how fast I am going. It never tells me how slow I am going, but it always tells me how fast I am going. It tells me if a door is not closed properly. It tells me if the hatch on the back is ajar or if it is closed properly. It tells me when, it provides comfort, a comfortable air temperature as I drive down the road. It allows me to listen to some good music while traveling. In fact, that car allows me with a little remote control switch to set the angle of the rear view mirror on the right side of the car and the left side of the car so that I can see down the road properly. That car will let me sit way high up in the air or let me sit way low and some lean back or lean forward, go real close. It has a lot of things that make that profit me as I travel in my car. But the number one profit that it affords me is it transports me where I need to go. so I don't have to walk. Now look, I can live without something that tells me the temperature outside. I can live without a power seat. I can live without a switch that makes the wipers go and then stop and then go and then stop. I can live without all that. I could even live without music in the car if I had to. I could. But you know, if a car is a car, it's got to get me to where I want to go. All right, you understand what I'm saying? That's the main thing that the car profits me. Now, the Scriptures are profitable for lots of things, but they are especially profitable for doctrine. It's interesting to me that in this list of things that the Bible says the Scripture is profitable for, I don't even find the word motivation in that Scripture. I don't find the word inspiring in that Scripture, and I sure don't find the words that the Scripture is profitable for a warm and fuzzy, ooey-gooey feeling all over. What I do see is that God tells a preacher that the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. The purpose of teaching is learning. So if I say I love the Bible, then by default I also love doctrine. I love teaching. I can't separate the love of the Scriptures from doctrine because the main profitability of the Word of God is doctrine. Doctrine. Now folks, listen very carefully. In this ever-increasing environment of make me feel good, make me laugh, scratch my itch, entertainment Christianity, God's people have to make sure that we appreciate what God said was important, what God said we needed, and God said that we needed doctrine. Doctrine. That's what God said. And the Scripture is good for doctrine. And if we will just love the Scripture, we will love doctrine. And I was thinking this afternoon, hopefully, we all learned a little bit this morning, or we were reminded of something we'd heard before about the importance of keeping our heart in a good relationship with God and the condition of our heart and not allowing the condition of our heart to go into despair, disrepair and bad shape. You know, I hope we all learned something. Now, we laughed a little bit in the service this morning. We had some humor, but I want to tell you something. That's secondary. That's the power seat in the vehicle. That's the remote control rear view mirrors. It's nice, but it's not necessary. And if you want a church that, you know, that's going to make you laugh, I can't promise you that. And if you want a church that's going to make you warm and fuzzy and gooey all over, I can't promise you that. But if the preaching and teaching of doctrine makes us laugh a little bit, makes us feel excited and inspired and stirs our hearts, I can promise you by the grace of God, we're going to keep coming to the pulpit and giving you Bible doctrine. Because that's what God said profits us. The Scripture is profitable for. The Scripture is profitable for doctrine. People, love your Bible. Love your Bible. Love it. You say, Pastor, you say that so much. I think sometimes you'd rather us have a relationship with the Bible than with God. I guess that's possible, friend, but I'm not too worried about that. I don't find a whole lot of people who are more in love with their Bible than they are with their God. Usually people who are in love with their Bible love their God even more. Love the Bible. And if you love the Bible, you'll love doctrine, you'll love teaching, you'll love learning. You know, that's what's so exciting. I am glad for the gray-haired Christians in this room. I'm glad for the Christians who are not gray-haired, who've been saved from 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, who have learned the truths of God's Word, who've learned some doctrines and the things that are taught in God's Word. I love that, but it's so exciting to see new converts start to get into the Bible. It's just so exciting. And you know, because we're trying to work with these people, you folks are not always privy sometimes to see what we're privileged to see. But you know, I tell you, it's a blessing. It just blesses you to go to the hospital to visit a little girl in the hospital from a lady who just had been saved here for a few months and just starting to get in the discipleship class and coming to church with a horrible work schedule. Just a horrible work schedule. Comes in sometimes after working all night. Comes and tries to get a little bite of breakfast and comes into the Sunday school class and then tries to sit in the morning service. And when you go down to the hospital, you go unannounced. They don't know you're coming. And it's a brand new convert. You walk into the hospital room and on the little tray, the little bed tray there, is an open copy of God's Word. You know, I've seen that many times when I've visited many of you folks in the hospital. You don't go anywhere without your Bible. And I say amen to that. Don't go anywhere without your Bible. And I've seen that some of you folks that have been saved for years and years. But buddy, when you walk into a room and here's a lady's not even 6 months old in the Lord, and she's got a Bible and she's got a discipleship paper there, and she's reading the Bible and filling out the discipleship paper, man, that just stirs my heart. Blesses me to see somebody just told Brother Caleb the other day, Brother Caleb, I got a question for you. So I was doing the discipleship paper, and I was answering a question from a certain chapter in the book of Matthew, and I just decided I was going to keep on reading that chapter. And so I just got down, and all of a sudden Jesus told this story about this woman, this man and woman, husband and wife, and the man died, and they told her to go marry the brother. And then he died. Then said, go marry the next brother. And then he died, and go marry the next brother, and he died. And she married seven men. And then Jesus said, whose wife is she being in the resurrection? And she said, what's that mean? He said, you know, we're going to cover that down the road in a few weeks. So, you know, and the thing about it is, those are sometimes hard, difficult things to understand. But the blessed thing about it is, there was something in her heart and her soul that loved what she was reading. I mean, she was getting into it. She was excited about it. It's exciting. It's exciting. I'm talking to folks this morning after the service, you know, what is this? And what is this? And what is this? And do you think discipleship would help us? And I said, no, I don't think discipleship will help you. Nope, don't think that at all. I know it will help you. Amen. But to see the hunger for God's Word, to learn things, don't ever lose that. And it may be a message where, you know, really nothing is said that you haven't already heard, and maybe sometimes you've heard it over and over again, but it's wonderful to get reminded of things that are in the Bible that are doctrine, part of teaching, and we can learn from those things. And God said the Scripture is profitable for many things, but above all, it's profitable for doctrine. Because that's why it concerns me sometimes when people take a careless approach to doctrine. A careless approach. A careless approach. You listen to anybody and everybody on the radio. Now, you're just trying to get... I'm not trying to get anything out of you. Been here 20 years, folks. I'm not trying to get anybody's love. Loyalty. I'm trying to build our loyalty to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, just because you hear something on the radio, you say, well, he may not be right, but I like what he... You better listen to his doctrine. Because if you love doctrine, you love the Bible. And if his doctrine is wrong, that means his Bible, his interpretation of Scriptures is wrong. Be careful about people that you listen to. Be careful about books that you read. Don't take a casual, careless approach to doctrine or a casual, careless approach to learning what is being taught. No, don't do that. To have a careless attitude about doctrine is to have a careless attitude about the Scripture, because they're one and the same. If you love the Scripture, you'll love doctrine. Let me say to you new folks who've only been saved for a few months or a couple of years, man, soak it up. Just be like a sponge. Did you ever take a bowl of water and a dry sponge and just crinkle that sponge down into a little ball and push it into that water, immerse it, and just watch it go? Well, that's what you want to be like when it comes to the Word of God. Just soak it up, man. Just get all you can get. Every service, every class, just be a sponge. Soak it all up. To love the Scripture is to love doctrine. Because he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable first and foremost, above all else, for doctrine. Now, number two, I want to show you something here in chapter 4, in verse number 2. He says here, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, listen to me. Number two, let me say this tonight. To preach the Scripture is to preach doctrine. That's what Paul said. To preach the Scripture is to preach doctrine. He said, preach the Word. He's talking about the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And he told Timothy, he said, as you preach the Word of God, be consistent. Be consistent. The instant, in season, out of season. You know that a preacher's made of flesh. You know that. A preacher's not a robot. A preacher's not some kind of mechanical Christian. A preacher's soul gets as dried as a layman's soul gets dried. A preacher's soul gets as dusty as a layman's soul gets dusty. Paul said, Timothy, you can't be one of these show up and preach one week and then take an absence the next week and then show up and preach, you know, on a high, man, give it your best, and when you're down, you know, just kind of do the best. No, no, no. He said, you be instant. You step up. You be consistent. You approach the pulpit with a message from God's Word. You preach the Word of God and you preach it consistently when it's in season, when it's out of season, when it's an opportune time, when it's an inopportune time. Go with a message and you preach the Word of God and preach it consistently. And he told him, he said, when you preach it consistently, he said, you need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And then he said, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I'm not going to say much about long-suffering tonight because I'm preaching about doctrine. But let me say something, friend. Preaching in this day and age, it requires much patience. You and I need to understand that. You and I need to understand that when folks got saved in the 40s and 50s, they got saved living in a culture that was very inundated with God and church and Christianity. Do you understand that? Some of you younger folks do not because you did not live in that day. But some of the folks in this age, in this room, my age and older, remember an America that was inundated with Christian values. We remember prayer in the public school. I don't remember anything being open on Sunday when I was a boy. And when folks got saved back then, they got saved out of a culture that was at least Christian in value. Not so anymore. And Penn, when we're trying to lead people to Christ, you folks are leading people to Christ and trying to get new folks in here, do you understand that they are being uprooted? And you've got to introduce people to a whole new culture sometimes. Whole new culture. Where Sunday is a day for church. Where this goes and this goes and this happens and this happens. And it's like uprooting them from what they've known all of their life. It's not much different than seeing people saved on the foreign field right now. It really isn't here in America. With how folks have been reared. You're talking about what? Soon to be 50 years? Isn't it soon to be 50 years? In 2013, won't it be 50 years of no prayer, no Bible in the public school? 50 years! We have folks in their 30s and 20s getting saved all their life. The Bible has been outlawed in the public school system. All their life, Sunday's been a day for sports. All their life, Sunday's been just, you know, another day of the week. And when they took a job, it was nothing to work on Sunday because, man, they even paid me a little extra to be there on Sunday. Who cares? You get folks to get saved out of that. That's an uprooting from the culture. Do you understand that? It takes a lot of patience. That's why it so thrills our hearts to walk into a hospital room and just see an open Bible on the bed table of somebody who 6 months ago didn't even have a Bible. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's getting garden time pretty quick here. Amen. I like garden time. Before that seed in the ground, right, that little thing begins to take root and germinates and a plant springs up, you know. And that little thing comes, a little blade of whatever it is, shoots up through that soil. Hey, the corn's up. Hey, the green beans are up. Hey, the lettuce is up. You don't go out the next day and pick peas. We understand that when it comes to agricultural plants, but we don't have any patience with new Christians. Yeah, they're going to smell like smoke. If it's the ones that have been saved for 40 years that smell like smoke bother me. I got a lot bigger problem with that than I do. Somebody's been saved for 4 days. It takes patience. Now, I wasn't going to preach on patience, but I did anyway for about 4 minutes there. So, anyway. But anyway. Now, the pastor preacher is to preach doctrine. He's to preach doctrine. I have no mandate to entertain. The internet's full of that. How are you on that? You had that Mrs. You saw a book and a fellow that was from Forest Hills Baptist Church years and years, years ago. Went to the same college. Yeah, I did. Graduated. Now he's got one of these contemporary things and wears his blue jeans and his, you know, his little shirt untucked and wears his blue jeans and sits on a stool. And, well, they got all the drumming, all the lights and everything I was talking about a few weeks ago. I don't see a mandate to entertain. I don't see a mandate for a preacher to make sure that he smooths all the feathers of the folks in the congregation. I don't see a mandate to do that. I see a mandate to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word of God. Preach doctrine. And do it with doctrine. So if he's preaching the Word, if he's preaching Scripture, he will of necessity have to preach doctrine. Listen, the Bible primarily is a book about God, a book about His Son Jesus Christ, about His Holy Spirit. The Bible is a revelation of God. Now what? If I am preaching Scripture, I will have to preach and teach, preach messages that teach about God and teach about our relationship to Him. You know, friend, there's a lot of preaching today that is horizontal. The subject material is all horizontal. How to get along on this plane. How to cross cultural differences. How to be tolerant. Our relationship with money and our relationship with the government and our relationship with violence and how to respond to a crisis. All these things. And you know what? I'm sure there is some good in those things. There's something, they're viable subjects to learn about. But friend, do you understand how important this plane is? You understand, if we get this plane fixed, if we get this plane right, if we get this horizontal relationship with God right, then most of this will take care of itself. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. And you know what? The second will fall right into place. Sure will. But the clientele of churches today likes to be told how to. I love the example Brian Sharp used years and years ago here in our auditorium, talking about cultural differences and races and trying to get the blacks and the whites and the Jews and the Arabs all together, and so much money and effort and forums and seminars and time and education and try to get along with each other. How to get along? How does the Arab get along with an Israel, Hebrew? How does a Hebrew get along? How does a black get along with a white? How does a white get along with the? It's all down here. And Brian Sharp said, you know, just get the black man saved, get the white man saved, get the Jew saved, get the Arab saved. They'll get along real good with each other. And we see that pretty good, don't we, Brother Larry? That's right. Chitlins notwithstanding, Brother Adrian. Amen. Don't ever talk to that guy about how they're made either. Horrible. We get along fine. Need to emphasize our relationship to God. A lot of preaching done on a horizontal lever. Listen, do not grow weary of learning about God or grow weary of instruction about our relationship with God. Folks, that's what this Bible is about. It's a revelation of God and how I can be right with my God. Love Him and serve Him. Man, and if a preacher is going to preach Scripture, he of necessity is going to have to preach doctrine. To preach the Word. So to love the Scripture is to love doctrine. To preach the Scripture is to preach doctrine. Now you say, preacher, why do you make these points tonight? This is my third point, number three, and I'm done. I make these points, and I make them emphatically, hopefully, because our relationship to doctrine is in danger of changing. So how do you know that? Because what God said, down in verse number 3 and 4. Look at it. 2 Timothy 4, He said, for the time may... No, that's not what He said. He said the time what? Will. So that means it will. It's going to happen, right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, swapping doctrine for a fable. This is why I make the point, friend, love your Bible. To love the Scripture is to love doctrine. This is why I make the point, preacher, preach the, if a preacher preaches Scripture by necessity, he'll have to preach doctrine. And we've got to get that nailed down, and our relationship to doctrine has got to be whole and good and strong, because our relationship to doctrine is in danger of changing. The time will come when doctrine becomes irrelevant to God's people. I don't care what they preach. I just have a good time there. I don't care what they preach. I like the music. I don't care what they preach. I don't have any pressure on how I live. That's what he said will happen. He said it'll happen. The time will come when doctrine will become secondary. Secondary nothing. When doctrine will be turned away for fable. I think that's a little less than secondary, don't you? So important for God's people. It's more important that my ears just get scratched. Right there. It was Luke, I believe. Was it Luke, babe? It was Luke. He just loved to have his ears rubbed. You have any kids like that? He'd sit by his mother down here when he's a younger. Not, he doesn't do that now that he's 23. He'd sit by his mother, and he'd bump up against his mother and sometimes take a hand. Sometimes take her hand and put it around his neck and put it on his ear. He's a little boy. He loved to have his ears rubbed. That's what Paul says is going to happen in end-time Christianity. People aren't going to give a rip about doctrine. Don't tell me about my relationship to God. Just, scratch it right. Oh, that feels so good. Oh. Man, I'm warm, I'm fuzzy, I'm ooey-gooey. All of them. That's sad. I want you to notice what they will not endure. The Bible says they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, what is sound doctrine? Well, aren't you glad that we don't have to wonder? Turn a couple of pages over to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. We're still in the same set of books here, these pastoral books. And look what he said in chapter 2, verse number 1. He said to Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he explains what sound doctrine is between verses 2 and 10. And he says, in verse 2, you got the aged men. They need to do this. And verse number 3, the aged women need to do this. And number 4, the younger women need to do this. And number 6, the younger men need to do this. By the way, just as a note, the list for the women is a whole lot longer than the list for the men. Okay, I won't say any more about that. All right, I went over like a screen door in a submarine, I can see. All right, very good. I was just having a good time, all right, trying to. I was just trying to make you feel warm and fuzzy, amen. We don't have to guess what sound doctrine is. You know what sound doctrine is? Sound doctrine is telling the aged men how to live, how their relationship with God ought to be. Sound doctrine is telling the aged, the adult women, how their relationship with God ought to be. And others. And others falls right into line. And young men and young women, all this, it goes right down through there. This is what I mean, friend. When you hear me say things like this, I'm not going to trim the message. I'm not going to change the approach at the pulpit here. I intend to keep preaching the things that make for sound doctrine, which is our relationship to God and others. I love the Scripture. And by default, because of that, I love doctrine. I love it. I love to learn about God and His Word. I love to preach the Scripture. Because of that, by default, I love to preach doctrine. Now, the question tonight is, how is your relationship to doctrine? How is my relationship to doctrine? Do you have a desire to learn the Bible? Have you asked somebody about a passage that you don't understand recently? Or is that just for Christians who are 6 months old? Brother Tom, you were here. You weren't here Wednesday night because Caitlin Griffey broke her foot. Didn't you break your foot, Caitlin? An ankle, or she's in a cast. I hate that, but that happened Wednesday night before church. And they were getting her cared for at the doctor. But Tom, remember you came to me about that question in Ezekiel, and it was in the 40s, and somewhere in 43 or 44, somewhere there, and Tom comes with a question from the hardest book in the Bible. Remember that? Remember I pulled that Matthew Henry commentary off the shelf? And I said, let's see what Matthew Henry said about it. Opened up to that very chapter and that very place that talks about that chapter in the book of Ezekiel. Matthew Henry said, this is the most difficult passage in the most difficult book in the whole Bible to understand. Remember that? Well, I actually talked a little bit about it Wednesday night. Well, you know what I enjoyed? Even though, and I had to tell, like I told the folks, Brother Tom, I said, I told you, I don't know. Maybe I can find out. But I love the fact that he asked. You're hungry to learn the Bible. Hungry to learn the Word of God. What's your relationship to doctrine? Do you love the Bible? You'll love doctrine. If you love preaching, then you're going to love preaching about doctrine because that's what the preacher's supposed to do. You have a desire to learn the Bible, what it teaches us about God, His Son, Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, folks, I said it once. Doctrine determines belief, and belief determines behavior. And I had a man ask me today about the judgment seat of Christ. And you realize at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll be judged, and you'll be judged. We'll be judged for our behavior, our works, what we did. So if I want to stand before Jesus Christ someday and be judged for my works and my behavior, I want to find out what influences my behavior. And what I believe influences my behavior. So if what I believe influences my behavior, I want to believe right. I want to learn. I want to know. I want to know how to have a better relationship with God. I want to know how to honor Him with my life. I want to know how to serve Him. I want to know how to keep my heart right. I want to learn how to love Him. I want to know doctrine. So if I don't feel warm and fuzzy and ooey-gooey when I leave church, but I've learned something about my God, that's fine with me. Because that other stuff, it's just the intermittent wipers. And other stuff is just the power seat. But doctrine is what gets me and you somewhere. What's your relationship to doctrine? Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, help us tonight in these waning days of this New Testament dispensation. We believe that Jesus is soon to come. We believe it with all of our hearts. And Lord, we know, according to your book, that there will come a time when many will turn a deaf ear to sound doctrine. Swap it for a fable, Lord, so hard to believe, but yet so true. So God, help us to stay in love with you, in love with your book, in love with preaching that centers and concentrates on doctrine. Help me as a preacher. God, I pray that you'll help me to do everything I can to keep my opinion, my speculation out of messages. When it becomes necessary to have it in there, Lord, always identify it as such. Help the messages to be filled with doctrine, with Scripture that will profit us. So we can learn how to love you and walk with you and honor you with our lives. Oh God, please. May we stand true and straight in these last days. Help our relationship to doctrine be right. Please.